we're looking at Galatians 5, 16 through 26, if you want to turn your Bible or your iPhone to that. If you have an Android, hopefully you have downloaded the Bible by now, but I understand it's usually reserved for people with Apple products. Just kidding, I'm kidding. And so while the kids are leaving, I want to take us just down history lane, if that's a thing, for a moment. So the year was 1986, so for your kids, it might not have been born. This is a really significant time in our culture, in pop culture specifically. But in 1986, the rappers known as Run DMC covered the 1975 song by the band Aerosmith called Walk This Way. Perhaps you've heard of it. It was written by Steven Tyler and Joe Perry. And so what happened on this moment in 1986 is huge because they brought rap and rock together for one of the first times where it made it big and it exploded and our whole culture was just completely transformed forever as they told us to walk this way. And the lyrics, like, they're so, so deep and heartfelt and just powerful. And they encourage us to walk this way. Walk this way. And the next thing we knew, we're seesaw swinging with the boys in the school with your feet flying up in the air, singing Hey Diddle Diddle with the kitty in the middle. You'd be swinging like you just don't care. Oh, your boy can rap. What? Just kidding. And then they went on. But to say, walk this way. And it got me emotional all week as I was thinking about it. And I began to ask myself, what does this mean? What are the depths? Because clearly there's a lot of depth here. And so then it got me thinking, well, what way do we walk? Like, how do we walk in life? And then I began to realize, like, you know what? We walk in a lot of different ways. And so I just want to share some of those right now. So there's like the casual walk, which is just like a normal walk. Like we walk casually. Then there's like the tired, like I just got up kind of like walking. Like, you know what I mean? Like there's the tired walk. Then there's like the strut, like what up, you know? Then there's the confused walk, which happens to me a lot, where it's like, I don't know which direction I'm going. There's the I just kissed a girl walk, like, yeah, buddy. Happened once for me. There's the hurry walk, which is like this, and where you're walking fast. And there's the ticked off walk, which is like this. And then there's the I have to pee walk, which is like this. And the funny thing about all of those is like they're all the same walk with just different stride lengths. And then there's the I just played basketball walk, which if you came on our men's retreat, like you saw this one. It's like the my knees don't bend anymore. So there's like all these different ways that we walk in life, and the thing to notice is that this is my point in talking about this, is there's something that determines the way we walk, like our stride or whatever. There's something behind how we physically walk in life, like something is doing. So when we walk this way, like something has happened that's impacting our walk, and so that could be like a physical thing that's happened. It could be an emotional thing. It could be something like that. But there's something that's kind of guiding the way that we walk. And so even bigger than the physical way that we walk is what determines the walk of our life. Like, how do we carry ourselves? What direction are we headed? What does our spiritual walk look like? How are we walking spiritually? In other words, like the whole direction, the whole guidance of our life, where are we going? And what then is determining that walk in our life? Because there's something behind that as well, and how we journey through life. So in this passage that we're going to look at today, Paul tells us to walk this way, and he begins to explain that. So, hey, diddle diddle, let's look a little bit deeper into this passage of Scripture in Galatians 5, 16 through 18 is where I'm going to start. Much of this passage may be familiar to you, it might be new, but I just want to walk through it, if you will, and point out some things. So we're going to start with 16 through 18. Paul says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you're not going to gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. But if you're led by the Spirit, then you're not under the law. So Paul is saying clearly this, you want to walk this way, I want you to walk by the Spirit of God. He's saying there's two ways to walk in life. There's really two options. We can either walk by the Spirit or we walk by the flesh. So what does this mean? Well, just simply put, walking by the flesh means following our human nature or sin or those things, putting ourselves like selfishness, pride, basically following that human fleshly nature, if you will. And then walking by the Spirit, of course, is walking by the Holy Spirit, walking in accordance and step with God himself. So Ask yourself, like, what, as you walk this way, what is determining your walk in life? Is it your flesh or is it the Spirit of God? So I want to read this from Tony Merida. He says in Galatians 5, 16 through 25, Paul builds on this idea, this freedom in Christ idea that we've been talking about throughout this whole series that Jill talked about last week, to explain how such freedom and progress can only come through the power of the Spirit. There's no other way that this freedom can come. Simply, it's only through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so the Galatians, who he's writing this letter to, were drifting into a works-based, flesh-driven faith. We talked about that, just the works-based and trying to follow the law in our own strength. But Paul is calling them to a life of liberty in Christ and Spirit-filled fruitfulness. So let's go back to Paul. He begins this section by talking about the need for us or desire for us to walk by the Spirit. And he shows us three things within this, and I want to break this down. And so when he's talking about walking by the Spirit, he's also not talking about an occasional thing, right? This is not something that we just kind of try to do here and there. But instead, like, he wants the Spirit to be the guide, the only guide for our lives, which means for us that we need to yield or surrender to the Holy Spirit in our lives every day, all day, in every single aspect of our life. So in work, recreation, home, our sexuality, on and on, we cannot separate these things out. We have to submit to the Spirit in our whole lives, day by day, moment by moment. So first, Paul talks about when you walk by the Spirit, you will conquer the flesh. So notice from Paul, this is not like a hope. This is not like a, hey, if you walk by the Spirit, I think kind of sort of maybe you might not be guided by the flesh. But no, he's saying this is a promise. If you walk according to the Holy Spirit, then you're not going to walk by the flesh. So how do you conquer the flesh? How do you conquer sin in your life? Is it to try harder? Is it to follow the law better and grin down and bear it? Is it to serve more? Is it to give more? No, you submit to the Spirit in everything. You submit to the Holy Spirit in your life and you follow him. That's how we conquer our flesh. Because our flesh wants to trap us. It wants to put us in bondage, but the Spirit wants to give us freedom and wants to give us life. And there's really only two options in life, right? We either submit to the Spirit or we submit to the flesh. There's not any other options. There's two. This is it. This is what we got. So we either submit to our flesh or we choose to submit to the Spirit. So in other words, you can't like steal at the same time you're trying to give generously, right? Like you can't do. You can't pray in the Spirit and look at pornography at the same time. Those things are opposed to one another. You can't lie at the same time that you're trying to speak truth to somebody. Do you see what I'm saying? Like these things they're at opposition. And so there's only two options. So the question is, which are you walking by? What is guiding your life? And the other thing I want to point out is this is not just head knowledge. Like you can know all scripture. You could have everything memorized and still choose to walk by the flesh. I don't think you would if you knew that much scripture, but you could. You can also be really new in your faith and not quite understand everything, but choose to walk by the Holy Spirit and experience growth in that way. And so our spiritual walk, the way it primarily grows is as we submit to the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, if we do that, and then we add to that learning and growing and discovering his word and getting to know him more, it's like, watch out. That's when things explode and they get really, really, really fun. So, if you want to grow spiritually, start by living by the Spirit. Start by submitting to the Holy Spirit in your life. So, what else is going on? Well, secondly, Paul's showing us there's this battle. There's a battle going on within all of us that's intense. So he shows us that the Spirit and the flesh, that they're opposed to one another. They're at war. They're at conflict. They have opposite intentions. So one wants to bring bondage, our flesh, like I said. The other, the Holy Spirit, wants to bring us freedom. And they're perpetually at odds. Just like Kobe and Shaq, or Taylor Swift and Kanye, or Tom and Jerry, or me and Winter. Like we're constantly opposed to one another, always against each other. And so Paul is saying that they're opposed and the flesh wants to keep you from doing the thing, very things that you want to do. And so Paul is highlighting, he's bringing to light, hey, there's a battle. There's a very real battle going on, a very real spiritual battle that you, I, that all of us are a part of. And the enemy, our flesh, is trying to steal, kill, and destroy us. And so how does he want to do that? Is he wants us to submit to our flesh, to live according to that. Because when we submit to our flesh, then we're not submitting to the Holy Spirit in our life. But Christ has come. Christ has come that we may find life and live that out in the full. How do we experience this life? Well, he's given us this gift of the Holy Spirit that's come to guide our lives as we submit to that, and then we can walk in true life. We need to submit to that. And so Paul, when he's talking about this, he also, in another letter to the Romans in chapter 7, he talks about this. He says this in Romans 7:15, and then we'll skip down a little bit. He says, I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what's right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. Like, perhaps you can identify with Paul in this. And then he says this in chapter 21, I've discovered this, or verse 21, I've discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what's right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that's war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that's dominated by sin and death? Thank God the answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then skip down. That's the end of chapter 7. We go then, we turn the page to Romans 8, which of course those weren't there. And he says this. He says, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Jesus Christ. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. And so Paul is saying, yeah, there's this battle going on, but I have this freedom because of what Christ has done on the cross, because of his resurrection, because of all that he's done for me. I can now walk in life, and sin no longer has power over me. And so you see here in Paul's writing that you see there's this battle raging on for him, for me, for all of us. And I'm sure you can identify with Paul there. It's like, I want to do what's good. I want to do what's right. I want to do that. But there's this sin. There's this stuff that makes me feel like I'm in bondage or like I'm trapped. And so who's going to provide the freedom? Who's going to break me free from that? It's Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's how we get out of this mess. A life that's directed by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how then we walk in freedom. This is how we experience this. But we've got to recognize that there's a battle going on, because when we shed light on the battle, we begin to see it, and we're more easily able to choose the life, to choose the spirit, than choosing the flesh. And the enemy wants us to think, you're the only one experiencing the battle. You're the only one who's struggling with these things. But it's not true. All of us are in this battle. Paul talked about it. This is our battle. And the good news, though, is that we all have victory in Christ Jesus. We submit to him for what he's done for us. We've got to recognize the battle, and then we choose to walk in the Holy Spirit and not walk by the flesh. And just like anything, like when we see what's actually happening, it helps us to then choose the way that we really want to go. So this leads us into this third thing that Paul talks about in these first couple verses of 16 through 18. He says that walking by the Spirit then frees us from the law. And we've talked about this a lot throughout this series, that the futileness of the law, how the law really traps us. And the law was there for a time to help people to live right, to have guidelines, to have barriers, to know this is the way that you should live so that you'll live more according to God. But now, because of Jesus, we've been justified through our faith, not through the law. And so because of Jesus, now we can walk by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, and not in accordance to the law. So our lives are now directed by God himself instead of all these rules and regulations and laws. And so if you're following God with your life, what is the purpose of rules and regulations? Like, do you see it? Like, if you're led by the Spirit, you live right. Like, you choose what's right. What purpose do rules have if you're making wise decisions? Right? Like, what are rules for? They're in response to something that was done wrong, right? Like if someone spills hot coffee and someone gets sued, then all of a sudden we have a label, like, careful, this hot beverage you are about to enjoy may cause you to burn. And it's like, that never needed to happen if somebody didn't spill it on themselves. Like, our dog gets lost, right? If they make a poor decision, a little puppy makes a poor decision, flees our yard, we put up a fence or one of those little shock collars, and no matter what you feel about that, we do that to keep them in the boundary. Like, we do this with our teenagers. Like, if they make, you know, like, we respond oftentimes. Like, and kids, young kids, will make us come up with the craziest, like, rules that you never thought of. It's like we have a rule in our house that you cannot stick pasta up your nose. And it's like, never in my wildest dreams did I think that was a rule that needed to be established. But something happened. And we had to respond to it to set up guidelines so that pasta doesn't get stuck in nostrils. But if we make the right choice, like, then we don't need rules. Like, if you choose to not put pasta up your nose, you don't need to make that rule. I mean, this is why, you know, some cars, you know, have breathalyzers to start and others don't. Why? Because something happened, there's a choice that was made, and in order to start that car, now you have to do that. But the reason they don't put it on all of that is because it'd be unnecessary for so many people. So this is what happens when we live by the Spirit. There's no reason for the law anymore because as we are guided by the Spirit, we can follow Him and we don't need all these things because we're going to choose to live what's right. We're going to choose to live by the Spirit. And this is what gives us freedom now because we're free just to walk. We're free to live. We're free to follow the Lord's leading in our lives. This is incredible stuff. It's really fun. So Paul lays all of this out for us. He says, you know, there's a life. Life by the Spirit will conquer life by the flesh. Like, it always wins. He shows us there's this battle going on so we can bring light to it, so we can begin to choose to live by the Holy Spirit more and more in our lives. And he shows us that living by the Spirit is not subject to the law because we can walk in righteousness. And then he goes on, he gets really practical for us because we need practicality. We need lists because some of us are like, yeah, that sounds great, but I don't know what that means. And so Paul's like, yeah, that's cool. I'll give you a list. And so here's what he does. He lists out what life that's directed by the flesh looks like. And it's really fun, heartwarming stuff. So in verse 19 through 21, he gives us this list. He says, now the works of the flesh, they're evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And it's like, when I read that, I'm like, like, do I have to say all those things in church? But I did. But it kind of looks like the world, doesn't it? Like, we look around, it's like, oh, wow, kind of looks like that. And yet, there's also this twisted appeal to engage in some of those things, isn't there? But all this, and we know this, we know it, that these all lead to death. They lead to bondage. We know these things deep down. I believe that we know it. And yet so often we continue to choose to submit to our flesh. So we can break down what Paul talks about into about a couple main categories, three main categories. So the first part is he talks about sexual sin. So sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality. And obviously he's showing that these are things that we're giving into these fleshly desires, these fleshly appetites. And the damage of this too with sexual sin that's significant is that there's oftentimes somebody else involved, right? And you say, well, maybe not pornography, but that's somebody's daughter, mom, wife that you're subjecting to your lusts. Like that doesn't mean it's just no one else is impacted. And also, all of these things are the opposite of love. They're the opposite of love because it's self-gratifying. And so sexuality, though, that's led by the Spirit, that's expressed in the covenant of marriage, is free. There's trust. There's hope. There's life in that. There's unity. There's pure. It can be wonderful. But yet sexuality that's led by the flesh is oftentimes selfish, hurtful. There's bondage that comes from it. So Paul talks about that. And then he talks about this religion, these religion things, the idolatry, sorcery, where we put anything above God that makes it an idol is obviously outside of being followed by the Spirit. And the same with, he talks about sorcery as well, where we're seeking to use powers from the dark world instead of the power of the Holy Spirit. That is obviously against being living by the Spirit. The third one is relationships. It gives enmity, where opposition to one another, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy. Not much else to say here other than look at them. Slow down. Look at the list. Look at your relationships and what's coming out of those things. When we experience these things in our relationships, what's guiding it, right? It's oftentimes our flesh. Like if somebody gets a promotion and I respond in jealousy, what's going on? Is that being submitted by the Holy Spirit? No, that's because I want what they have. I want to put myself above them, all right? Maybe I don't think they deserve it, or whatever that may be. It's my flesh getting in the midst of that, and it causes jealousy, which causes division in that relationship. It's like, why can't I just rejoice with them? You see what I'm saying? So how do we avoid this? We walk in the Spirit. And the fourth one, the fourth part of this list is these indulgences, drunkenness, orgies. I had to say that again in church, and other things like these. And so what are these a sign of? These are a sign of just giving up and saying, I don't care anymore. I'm just going to indulge my flesh. I'm going to indulge whatever I want. I don't want to resist. I'm tired of resisting. I'm going to give in to what my flesh desires. I would also put in like oversleeping or overeating or things like that, where we begin to just give in to what our flesh desires. And so Paul gives this warning. When we do these things, we don't inherit the kingdom of God. And you might be thinking, Chad, geez, I struggle with these things. I seek to follow Christ with my life, but this still feels like there's a battle. Well, Paul, in chapter 6, Galatians verse 15, he talks about how in Christ we're made a new creation, where the old is gone, the new has come. And here's what Tony Merida says about this as well. Those who have come to faith in Christ by grace alone are new people. While I will still wrestle with sin, the flesh no longer dominates them. They now have new desires and new power to live in freedom. Our good works don't save us, but true salvation leads to fruitfulness and faithfulness. Because of the work Christ has done, yes, there's a battle going on. We've talked about that, but we can walk in freedom, where we don't have to be in bondage to sin, because we can put it on the cross and we can walk away in freedom. And here's the good news with all of this. Like, if Paul just ended there and was like, period, that would be really sad. But that's not the only list. He gives us another list, and he begins to show, and he shows us what life that's led by the Holy Spirit looks like. And you've probably heard these if you went to Sunday school and had a flannel graph. But it says, verse 22, 23, but the fruit of the Spirit are these: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And I want to point out that love is not first by accident. Love is not first by accident. We have the power to love only because of the power of the Holy Spirit, of submitting to the Holy Spirit. And then all of these other ones are really an expression of God's love, aren't they? I could do a whole sermon just on love. So he talks about love. Then he talks about joy. As we submit to the Holy Spirit, as we walk by the Spirit, there's joy, the love of God that produces this joy. So how do we have joy in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of confusion, in the midst of uncertainty? Well, we walk by the Spirit. How do we have peace, he talks about? How can we have peace in the midst of heartache and trouble? Only through the Spirit, only as the Spirit of God leads us. I mean, have you ever been around somebody that has incredible peace in the midst of difficulty? It's like, how do you get that? Like, what's going on? It's the Holy Spirit. As they submit to the Holy Spirit in their lives, like, God gives them such great peace. I just talked with a friend. Michelle and I were talking with a friend last night who went through a really difficult health period in her life, and she was talking about the height of that. She's experiencing incredible anxiety, and then she just prayed. She's like, God, I can't do this anymore. And in the midst, God broke through with just an incredible peace. She's talking about this peace being so palpable and so real that when she saw her husband worried, she's like, why are you worried? Like, I don't understand. Like, why wouldn't you have this peace? That's what the peace of God does. Only the peace of God can be that powerful in the midst of difficulty. There's patience. Nothing brings this to light like our kids being crazy. How do you choose the Spirit to be in patience in the midst of chaos, in the midst of whatever, instead of submitting to our flesh? Kindness is expressed through serving, giving, being hospitable. I love kind people. Kind people rock. Goodness, like doing good to people, especially those who are in the household of faith, Paul says in Galatians 6:10. Faithful, reliable, dependable, people that give their word, faithful to the Lord, faithful to the community. Gentleness, tender, loving, thinking about this in terms of walking with people who are going through stuff, who are hurting or in confusion. Think about how Jesus did this, how he was so gentle with the woman who was caught in adultery, and he loved her through that. And self-control, not these indulgences, but instead we have control over our flesh. The Holy Spirit gives us power to have control over our flesh, and we can walk in that. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. And then Paul goes on, he wraps this up, verse 24 through 26, and he says, and those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. So here's the good news for all of this. For those of us that belong to Jesus Christ, we crucify the flesh just as he was crucified on the cross. And then with that, the passions, the desires, the bondage of the flesh, they stay there on the cross. And then we walk out. We walk in freedom by the Holy Spirit, no longer controlled by the flesh. Sure, we're going to battle with sin and temptation, but it doesn't control our bodies and our lives anymore. It's no longer what dominates us, because what dominates our lives is the Holy Spirit as we continually submit to him. And so there's this idea of repentance, where we turn from our sin, we turn from our flesh, and we say, I'm done with that. I'm tired of living in bondage. I'm going to choose to live by the Holy Spirit, and we turn from it. There's only two options here. And so we turn from the flesh, and we walk towards the Spirit, and we walk in the new life that Christ has given us because of his death, because of his resurrection. And so no longer we need to be dominated by those things, but instead we can live with hope and freedom and love and life because of all that he's done, because of what he's modeled for us, and because of what he's given to us. And so my encouragement to all of us is that we'd be done with the flesh. We would turn from it. We would recognize it, because when we recognize the sin, we understand more greatly the power of his love, the power of the resurrection, the power of the death on the cross, and the redemption that we have because of him. So there's times where we've got to confront that and say, I'm done with it. I'm going to now walk in freedom, and I'm going to choose to submit to the Holy Spirit. And we have to understand the power of that. So I just want to encourage you to crucify your flesh on the cross, to leave it there, to walk out in the Spirit this morning and every day from here on out. In your bulletin, hopefully, unless kids took them off, there should be two sticky notes, two yellow sticky notes in the middle of your bulletin. Maybe you're wondering what they're there. But here's what I want you to do is, and the band can come on up. I want you to write something on each of them. So on the bottom one, I want you to write down a sin of the flesh or something that maybe you're battling, that you're struggling, that you've been dealing with, that you're tired of, that you're sick of it. And I want you to write that down. And then on top of it, I want you to write the opposite, the fruit of the Spirit, on the other sticky note. So in other words, write down drunkenness. On top, you'd write down self-control, or whichever one of those fruits of the Spirit you identify with there. Maybe sexual immorality, you write down love. Like, I'm going to crucify that, and I'm going to walk out in love through the Holy Spirit. Anger, maybe that's something you struggle with, dealing with. You're sick of it. You're sick of blowing up at your husband or your wife, your kids, your coworkers, or whatever. Write that down, and then write on top kindness or gentleness or whatever. You know, dissension. You know, if you feel like there's just dissension in relationships, you begin to recognize, you know, maybe a good part of that is not the other person, but it's me. And if anyone's walking by the Holy Spirit in these, then I could walk in goodness with them or peace or whatever. Same with like opposition, enmity. Maybe you want to write down peace. Or maybe idolatry. You just realize, I'm putting things above God, and I'm tired of it. I want to lay that down. I want to put over it faithfulness, because I want to be faithful to the Lord in my life, to my family, to whatever, and on, whatever that looks like for you. And then what I want us to do, just as a symbol, is I want you to take that bottom one, that passion of the flesh, and I want you to come up here and just put it on the cross. Because here's the power of the cross. We don't need to carry that with us anymore. That Christ took on our sin, and he gained victory over it, and it's no more. It's washed clean from that. There's no more. We don't have to carry that around. We don't have to just kind of tuck it in our pocket, hoping that it doesn't creep out once again. But that it can stay there on the cross, that he took it for us. And we don't need to take it out with us. And the only sticky note that I want you leaving here with is the Spirit. And I want you to, as you walk, just as a reminder that I'm going to walk by the Spirit. I'm going to submit to the Holy Spirit in my life, and this is going to be what defines me. No longer this, because that's on the cross. It's been crucified on the cross with Jesus Christ. He already paid the price, and it's going to stay there. And I'm going to walk in the Spirit, and so now I'm going to walk in love, or I'm going to walk in peace, or I'm going to walk in self-control, whatever that is. I mean, hopefully all of them, but start with one today, just as a reminder for walking by the fruit of the Spirit this morning. And so I want you to do that, and then we're going to have a prayer team up here. I've asked them to come and pray, because the only way that we can do this, the only way we can live by the Holy Spirit, is to have the Holy Spirit guiding our lives and to submit to him. And so if that's something, after you put that up, maybe you want to go and pray with somebody. I want the Holy Spirit. I want to pay attention to the Holy Spirit more in my life. I want to submit more to the Holy Spirit. I want his voice to be louder and louder and louder in my life, and would you help me pray for that? They're going to be here just to pray with you. Dude, that's something we all need more of, right? We all need to submit to the Holy Spirit more in our lives. And then also, I have communion available again, if that would be helpful. Just a reminder for all that Christ has done for us. Especially as we think about this week, the Passion Week, just leading up to Good Friday and Easter on Sunday. To remember that the death, his body was broken for the forgiveness of sin, that this incredible act of love, so that we no longer need to carry these things out with us. That we don't need to come year after year and sacrifice a bull, because Christ has paid the ultimate price for us. And so we can walk out of here once and for all in freedom in the Spirit. And yeah, there's going to be a battle, but we can walk now in control and under the guidance of the Holy Spirit instead of by the law. And so if communion, the bread and the juice represent his love, his sacrifice, and that might be a great way for you to remember that and to reflect on the power of what that means. This is the whole gospel message. This is scripture tied together in him. So I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to ask you to write those things down and just come as you're ready. Come to the cross. Kneel. There's some pens there if you need it. Have the prayer team coming up now as well. I'll be serving communion if you want to do that. Just respond and walk out of here differently. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I just encourage you to pray with somebody. Pray with one of the prayer team members. And just leave your flesh here and walk in the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Most powerful thing you could do in your life. So let me pray. God, we thank you so much for this message. God, thank you for the fullness of your Holy Spirit that guides us, that frees us. We no longer need to bounce back and forth, but we can live under the guidance and the direction of the Holy Spirit. When things come up that we struggle with, we confess, we repent, we turn, we continue to choose you day after day after day. Choose to submit ourselves to your Holy Spirit. God, and as we do that, we experience such life and such freedom. And who among us wouldn't want to live with the fruit of the Holy Spirit as that being the definition of our lives? God, we all want that. We all want our lives to be shown that way, not by that other list. So God, let's just leave that list here, and let's take the fruit of the Spirit with us as we walk in step with you from here on out. May this be the way that we walk from now on. So God, we just thank you so much for the power of the gospel message, for the power of your scripture, for the power of what you've done for us. And God, help us just to live in freedom, experience new life in you. In your name, amen. I invite you to sing, to respond as you're ready. It's what God's doing in your life.